What up, Bucks?
You're about to listen to a clip from our show, Guys Be Fucked, the anti-slut-shaming podcast. This week, our guest is comedian and podcaster, host of Wine Before Nine, Amina Amani. And if you want to hear more from other podcasters like Roxane Gay, Michael Rappaport, Lena Dunham, you're going to head over to luminarypodcasts.com where you can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month.
I was raised in Atlanta, right? Completely different childhood. I'm in New York raising my son. Completely different childhood. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like even the thought, like I'm on the phone with my aunts and she's like, yeah, you can start like leaving your son home when he gets eight. And I was like, I probably won't do that. Like, like we were definitely on our own around the age and navigating through life. And my mom would come home late because she had jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm like 2020, New York City, an 8-year-old home alone. I don't think I would even be able to party or a little bit, right? Like I wouldn't, but y'all be like, what? I mean, and I'll be like cameras in my apartment. I don't even know what that would look like, but.
Yeah, I think people too, because it seems like everybody's becoming more and more comfortable about their feelings and like, oh wait, what happened when I was a kid? That was kind of fucked up. And that made me act this certain way as an adult. And now when we raise kids, we're raising them with more awareness. So I think people are actually growing up slower in a way, which is good. Like not, you know, like waiting to get like, the idea of a 20-year-old getting married, like they'll write us and be like, no, don't
do it.
My parents married when my mom was 19. So no, it's like,
but I appreciate that aspect of how things are turn changing. Cause when I look back, I'm like, yo, we definitely had to grow up a little too soon.
Yep.
And that might be why I'm regressing emotionally as an adult. Cause it's like, you didn't have that time to fully, you know,
think for yourself.
Yeah. Or even just to develop to think for yourself. Right. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think about all that, y'all. So that's why I be just mentally sometimes just drained. I be like, who chooses this life? They say they want you, you got a plan for this. I'm like, whoever's doing that, what type of drugs you taking? And let me know. Because if this wasn't to happen by accident, I don't think it would. I'd be like, nah, what would I do? Nah. Yeah, I'm all set.
Well, what were the circumstances surrounding the pregnancy? Were you, is this someone you were dating or?
Yeah, so we were dating. We had just broken up. It was a ugly breakup too. And then like 3 days later, I was like, my friend had just washed her hair with Garnier Fructis and I almost threw up right in her face. And then that's when I was like, about the Garnier fruit.
That smells really good.
I know,
that
right?
Smells really good.
Exactly.
Can you like not use that shampoo to this day? Triggered by the scent.
No. It was supposed to. That's what we were just all like. It's supposed to smell good, and I'm over here
Oh my god.
So it was unexpected. I was 26 years old, which was crazy because I had just started having sex. Like a year ago, right?
I
2 months shy of my 25th birthday is when I lost my virginity.
Wow.
So, I don't know. I promote whole phase for young adults.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's unique though. What was there? Did you like plan to wait?
I was just scared, friend. Yeah? I was just scared.
Unfamiliar territory. You're like, I'm more comfortable not exploring that.
But also growing up, that just wasn't anything that was like, even I remember when my friend tried to have like a sex party in high school. I was just like, I can't.
I mean, that's a lot. I can't go to that.
Like where we sit around as girls and talk about, you know, the things that you do and learn. Like,
this is how far I've gotten.
Yeah. But
I thought you meant like an actual sex party.
No,
17 year olds were like,
the thought that I'm calling that a sex party, I'm wrong, right?
It's like a sex education party. That was a very sweet concept.
Tell us what base you got to. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. So it was a party where young women sat around a circle and talked about their experience.
That's actually a precursor to the Dan Savage.
I gotta use that.
Can't hear about this.
So was sex not even talked about?
It wasn't even talked about. And then even just the idea of like giving head was like, you've put your mouth on that? Like, it was, yeah, it was stupid, out of it. Right?
I feel the same
so
way.
So then I go to college and I'm like this athlete, and it was just like, you're going to ruin your life if you fall in love. Like, that was the whole idea, right? Like, well, if you don't let them distract you, stay focused, right? So I'm
honestly, that's good advice.
I mean, I can't be upset about it, but in college, that's just what my idea was like. I don't know you like that. And, yeah, you know, ain't no ring on my finger. So, right. And then you probably got a girlfriend back home. So, and then that was a whole nother thing. Oh, you're 10 women to one male ratio at the college I went to.
Oh,
so, oh, whoa.
Yeah.
What college?
I went to Howard University in D.C.
I didn't know that ratio was at
it
Howard.
Was intense.
That was the ratio?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I mean, because
so
if you
guys
think about it,
swimming in puss.
Statistically, especially when it comes to black men, they're the least educated when it comes to stuff like that. Like, just, yeah, it's just like they're the most incarcerated. That's,
yeah.
And then they'd be like, go find a man. I'd be like, can we tell the system?
Right.
Can we tell the
system?
Can
we not lock people? Yeah.
But that's how it was. Like, when you most of the women, even in the friends that I had and stuff, most of the women were more apt to go to college than the boys. It was like maybe the Army or the Marines. It was just, you know, this that type of nature. So hopefully things are shifting. And that's why I'm more cognizant too, because I'm just like, you know, how difficult it is for me to find an eligible bachelor. At least I should raise someone for someone. So
raise it.
That's like such a nice way to think about it. Very kind.
Yeah, I'm like,
very evolved of you too.
Everybody got their own part in the world, and I'm over here just like.
Well, that's how you directly make the world a better place.
Seriously,
I think raising a young man, a little boy, is a very that has the ability to make the world a better place on such a huge domino effect level. It's wild.
And so I think for me, I watched, like, I don't know if y'all know about that documentary, The Mask We Live In.
Yes.
So I watched stuff like that. So, like, even like growing up, where it was like boys can't cry and they gotta be tough, I don't do any of those type of things with my son, because I feel like that is literally the part of the problem.
Well, boys are socialized to not cry. Mm-hmm. Girls are socialized to not be comfortable expressing anger. Mm-hmm. So it's like you grow up, and when girls are angry, they're like, I'm angry. And then when boys are sad, they're like, I'm fucking sad. And it's like, and then you're confused about yourself, and you're like, I'm a functioning adult, how can I not handle these emotions? But it's wild. I'm curious if you hear this, because you are around kids more, but I hear to this day guys saying to their sons, like, don't cry, don't be a little girl. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with that?
I know. That's
there's strength in crying.
That's
fuck
not
you.
Even from guys. That's from women in my family too.
Yeah.
It's just something that we've all been conditioned to think and promote. But he's strolling around like he's about to go
so
investigate something.
Sweet.
He's like, I heard something. And then what you was going to do?
That ninja lifestyle that he explained to us earlier.
I look back at old videos, like home movies. I have a couple like DVDs that got digitized of like me at 3 and 5. And I'm like, I was so confident. I moved through the world knowing exactly what I wanted to do and not caring about what other people thought. I'm like, I want to be that. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, you're just so, you have a desire and then you explore it. Like,
when did it switch though? How do you?
Five, six.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My mom was on medicine that made her hallucinate and drive into ditches and just terrorize.
So a darkness cloud came over that happiness.
For 10 years. That was the last I was,
That's
that was
really
the last
what it
loss
is.
Of my innocence.
Kids just really need happiness the most when they're young. You
because they're such genuine, happy creatures. Like, they're just so, they're great. How do you do anything specifically to ask, like, whenever my nephew's 5 and I tell my brother about, like, you know, raising little boys is important, you know, but I'm not going to step on him too much, but I always ask my nephew, like, how do you feel today? What's making you mad? Like, do you talk to him, your son, about feelings overtly like that?
Yeah. And I was fortunate, like, when I knew I couldn't do this alone, even when I was like a single mom. So I had like a social worker, and I look back and I'm glad that I applied for that program, because in hindsight, it's like, all of the things that they provided was helpful, but also we used to sit down and talk about, okay, well, what are some of your goals when it comes to
that's amazing
how you want to develop him emotionally? So
what program is
this? Oh my God, everyone needs
it's
that.
This nonprofit program called Room to Grow.
Oh, cool.
And you know, you can look them up, they're out there. And they so my social worker would just, you know, sit down and we would talk about how to come up with solutions for, you know, handling him as an emotional being.
Wow.
So even day, it's now like, we just say, use your words and we'll talk. So even if he like does want to shut down or cry or throw a tantrum, now I have my therapist who's like, let him throw a tantrum. And so we do that. But then I also, you know, try to encourage him to use his words and communicate exactly what he's feeling. So even when he was young, if he did things where he was angry or frustrated, that's where I would come in with the commentary to ask him, like, are you frustrated in a moment? Are you upset? Are you? And so now he's able to explain those
Oh my God, he's going to be the best grown man.
I think so. Wow. I think so. Hopefully, you know, sometimes it's like, that's why you got to have more, because you got to, you know, roll the dice. We out here. I'm like, whoa. We only have one chance right now.
And you're really proactive about making sure that his emotional life is nourished. That's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know many parents that do that.
Being 33 in therapy.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, even as a creative, right? Because we're so in tune with our emotions. And so I think for me, because a lot of the creativity that comes from me is relies on my emotional well-being.
Yeah.
I think for me, that's why it's the head of my, you know, priorities when it comes to my son. So I think that's really the connection. So I'm like, I see how it's made a huge impact on me. I only want to just be, you know, vigilant in his life. And that's my role as his mom, you know, to support him as much as, you know, I can. So,
hey, fuckers, we hope you enjoyed that chunk of our interview with Amina Amani. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to luminarypodcast.com. You can hear more of us, more of Trevor Noah, more of Roxanne Gay, more of a lot of people. And if you're in Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Finland, or Iceland, Luminary is inside of you. So go on down. Get yourself a 30-day free trial, boo.
Yeah.